to see you. If you think it's hot in here, you should have been with us yesterday. We had a wedding out in the sun. It was 96, and a beautiful wedding. I told someone, I might not ought to have said it, but it was the hottest wedding I ever attended. So, it was a beautiful wedding. We're glad you're here. We have some visitors with us. We have some regulars. And we appreciate your presence. We have come to worship God, and we're grateful for that. We have some here who set us a good example of coming on when a passing of a loved one, and I hope I can be that strong. And we're glad that there are those among us of good faith. Today I'm talking to you about a subject you might think is too negative. The Lord was not afraid of negative subjects because everything that God and Christ speak is positive. They have no negatives. If they speak about hell, it's positive. If they speak about heaven, it's positive. And so, when you look here, my first point, why are so many wrong? It's always been a challenge to me since I learned the truth of God. Since I read the book of Acts through and the New Testament through, and learned the plan of salvation, and learned how God told us to worship, and learned about heaven, and learned about hell, and so forth, that I wondered how so many people could be wrong. Now, there's no question about so many people being wrong. If you believe the Bible, you've got to believe it. I don't need to show you examples. Jesus said very plainly that straight is the gate, and wide is narrow is the gate, and straight is the way that leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it. I can give you the greatest testimony there is. If you believe that God wrote the Scripture, that Jesus spoke the truth, you've got to believe that few there be that find it. In Luke 7:13, Luke puts it a little bit different. He said, strive to enter in at the straight gate. For many will seek to enter in and shall not be able. The word strive means to agonize, to suffer, to go through hardship, to be sure you're in the straight gate. So we're studying this morning on why are so many people wrong. Now you young people, listen to this. I'm not as dumb as I sometimes act. I've read a few books. I know some things that you might not think I do, and I'm by no means real smart. Now, why are so many on the wrong way and so few in the narrow way? Well, first of all, they don't know. They don't know. They don't know what I'm telling you this morning. John 8:31-32, Jesus said, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 31 says, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And so there are so many people they don't know the plan of salvation. They don't know the five items of approved worship. And I could go on and on. They don't know. Well, then there's those also who don't care. And that's a great number of people. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. If I bear them record, that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness, that means God's righteous plan, Romans 1:16 proves it, the gospel, have not committed themselves to the righteousness of God. They haven't obeyed the plan of the gospel. That's what that's saying. Now, the third reason is because they haven't proved to themselves. You know, there's some things you have to prove to yourself. When you get 96, some days you get up and you look for your name in print. You want to know who for sure who you are. And so you have to just prove. Now, the Bible tells us very plainly that we've got to prove. And it doesn't say prove some things. 1 Thessalonians 5:21 says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good. Now I know where you're going to prove anything. Someone says, I'm saved, and I can tell you right in here. The Bible says the feelings are deceitful above all things. That's what the Bible says. But what my testimony says about my soul is absolutely worthless. Now the Bible does say in Romans 6, 17 and 18 that His Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, having written the truth, beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. What does that mean? That means that His Spirit says you've got to believe, and my Spirit says you believe. His Spirit says you've got to repent. My Spirit says I've repented. And I can go on, but I won't run on through that because I don't have time. But you prove all things. You prove all things by the Word of God, not by the majority, not by the people who got the most degrees, not by the ones who have the most money, but you prove it by the Word of God. And that's what the Bible says. If any man speak, let him speak as the Word of God. That's what the record says. Now, why are we wrong? Let's look at creation. I wish I could spend a lot of time on creation. Why are so many people wrong on creation? And they are. If you're going to college, they're going to make fun of you if you believe in creation. But you know, I again say, if you believe the Bible, you've got to believe that they are, and I say this kindly, not that you should call them that, they are a group of fools. That's what it says. I see it, Psalms 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then I read it again in 53:1, the same thing. The fool, why would you say that? Well, you know, here I hold a book in my hand. Now if I said, you know, there was a big bang came in heaven and the book fell down, you'd say, you're the dumbest thing ever was. The earth itself proves that there is a God. You and me, do you really believe that you came from a monkey? Now, sometimes I know when you look at me, you think it's not too far off, but do you really believe you did? Do you really believe someone sometime back yonder, this is the best they can give us, is that they had a big bang. And out of that big bang, there was a one-cell animal, amoeba, or paramecium, or something like that. And there it has. And you put 10 million years. You know what evolutionists do? If they have something they can't explain, just add another 5 million years to creation. When I was teaching school 55 years ago, the science book said that the world was a million years old. When I'd been there about 2 or 3 years, it changed and said it's 5 million. I understand now it's closer to 35 million. But anyway, they just add another million years. That explains it. The fool has said it. And then, of course, there are certain things that's obvious. Have you ever seen anything come from nothing? If you have, you're smart and I'm dumb. Tell me what you've seen come from nothing. It just doesn't happen. Genesis 1:11 proves there's no such thing as evolution. And you cannot break Genesis 1:11, no matter how hard you try. The Bible says, every seed bringeth forth after its kind. Mark it down, ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to find it. I planted corn, and guess what came up? Corn. Every seed bringeth forth after its kind. God said that. And so there's no doubt in my mind about that. So we find creation is for a number of reasons. We're going to go over 8 if time permits, and I don't think it is. But we're going to give you 8 reasons why people are deceived. But people want to believe in creation. If you don't believe in hell, you don't want to believe that God created you. You don't want to believe you got an immortal soul. Who would want to believe an immortal soul that's headed to hell? Yeah. That's the exact reason. If you're really intelligent, you don't want to believe that such an outdated book as the Bible is telling you anything. You're too smart to believe that. You just got too much intelligence to believe that. Remember, the Bible says the fool is in his heart, there's no God. And so they're wrong about it because they have not considered a number of things, and that's all I've got time to get. Second, they don't understand inspiration. They don't understand inspiration. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3, that the Scripture came not in old time by the will of man, but by the will of God, the Holy Spirit. Men spake as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. I believe that with all my heart. If that's not true, why haven't we produced a Bible that's better than our Bible? We've got a better car. We got better homes. We got better education. We got everything better, but nobody's got us a better Bible. Have you tried to read the Quran? Forget it. I've tried. Forget it. And you take any other books, none of them compare to the Bible. The Bible tells you where you came from, why you're here, and where you're going. Name me another book that does that. And I'll challenge anybody to stand up and defend it. It is not possible to defend it. We don't believe in inspiration. Ephesians 3:4. Paul said, I wrote this thing of inspiration. And when you read, you may understand my knowledge. Trouble is, we hadn't read. When you start talking to somebody who don't believe the Bible, ask them how many times they read it. Ask them, have you read the New Testament through? How do you know you don't believe it? I've asked everybody ever I met, told me, have you read it? I hadn't found one yet told me they've read it. Now, I'm sure out there somewhere there's somebody. Ask your friends. Ask them about Acts 2. Do they know Acts 2:38? If they don't know that, just kind of back up and say, well, got too much work ahead of me here. They don't know the Bible. And they don't know it. So that's inspiration. And then, of course, then perspiration. We don't like perspiration. Yesterday I perspired. I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to wear this. My wife went and bought this suit, and it nearly caused a divorce, but I took it anyway. And so I told my wife, I said, I'm not going to wear that. That's, it's just 96 degrees in the sun. She said, yes, you are. That settled that issue. So I had on it, and so I knew what I was up against. But I'm talking about spiritual perspiration. Study is hard. If you're a student, you know it. Study is the hardest work you can do. It's harder than busting rock. I really believe that. Because it takes more self-control. All you've got to do is sling a hammer. You don't have to think. You don't have to just... But study is hard work. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Because God told you to study. That's the reason I've told you so many times. Don't go to judgment not having read the New Testament through. You might be willing to skip some of the Old Testament. When I get to Ezekiel and Jeremiah and all that, I've read them, but some of those chapters, they are difficult. I'm glad I don't live under those laws, but they help me learn things. And so study to show thyself approved, not somebody else. A workman. No, a sleepwalker. No. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Are you ashamed of how little you know about the Bible? I'm not trying to put you on the spot. I'm just saying, are you? Rightly dividing or handling aright the word of truth. You've got to put the Bible together right. Most people don't know that if you take the Bible and want to know how to divide it, you've got to go from Genesis 1 to Exodus 20. These are, of course, general places, but there are... And that's you got the patriarchal age. And God spoke to the fathers. Most of your friends don't know that through the prophets. That's the patriarchal. And the fathers run the religion. And Abraham worshiped with his family. And Noah worshiped with his family. That was it. And then you got the Mosaic age. Exodus 20, the Ten Commandments. Deuteronomy 5, only two times all ten of them together in the whole Bible. And so there you go. And that goes down to Jesus died on the cross. And when Jesus died on the cross, Jesus lived and died under the Old Testament law, Moses. He was the only one that kept it perfectly. And when he died, the Old Testament law passed out of existence in the sense of being fulfilled. Now, anybody can read that. They can read. Hebrews 10, verse 9. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second. Colossians 2, 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances which was against us, which were contrary to us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Could you make language any clearer than that? Romans 7:1-4. Clearest illustration ever made by man. Now, this illustration about marriage, a husband and wife. He says a husband and wife are bound together by law as long as they both shall live. But if the husband be dead, she is free from that law. If your wife dies, you are free from that law to her. And you can go out and marry another and be no adulteress. And that's what that passage says. And then it says, wherefore you have become dead to the law of Moses, that you might be married to Christ. You couldn't make it any plainer than that. There's no way to make it any plainer than that. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's all I've got time to say about that, but that takes some inspiration, some perspiration and others. And salvation. Salvation. Let me tell you something. If you hadn't read these chapters, you should have. If you want to know what salvation is, read Acts 2. Read Acts 8. Read Acts 9 and 22 together. Read Acts 10 and 11 together. Read Acts 16. And you've got examples of people obeying what Jesus told them to do to be saved. And you read Matthew 28, 18 through 20. And it's very plain. Jesus said, go teach all nations, baptize them. Then he says, verse 20, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've told you. Mark, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then you read the book of Acts, and that's where they put it together. Now, that, of course, is salvation. Why do people believe that you can pray through and get saved? I don't know. In New Testament days, when Saul had been praying 3 days, and we were living under the gospel of Christ, the preacher came to him and said, arise, Paul, you've been praying 3 days fasting, rise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Now, if you can't understand, I'm going to stop right there. I don't want to say anything. I'm getting old, and I've got a counter already to answer for it. I'm trying to be kinder in my older age. But I want to be very clear. Well, I want to be very clear. And I want to be very clear to tell you that that's the way salvation is. And then, of course, I wanted to give you intoxication. I decided on that this morning. Why are so many people wrong? I believe a lot of it's intoxication. You can be intoxicated on power. You can be intoxicated on a lot of sins, but you can be intoxicated on wine and whiskey and drugs. Now, you know what the Bible says about that? Wine is a mocker, and strong drink is raging, and he that partaketh thereof is not wise. That is in the Old Testament, but it's a New Testament principle. Galatians 5 very plainly says from 17 through 21, here are 17 things that if you do them, you're going to go to hell. You can't go to heaven unless you get used to it. And right in the middle of them is drunkard. Drunkard. There's a lot of others I won't go into all them, but intoxication has caused us a great deal of problem. I don't know what we're going to do in this country. You people are close to it now, but I believe half of the college students we got are drinkers. That's what I believe. Now, some of you college students go out the back door and say, that's not true. We got about 5%, that's what it is. Drinkers. We live in an age where it's common to say a Christian drink. Now, the Bible says, either make the tree good and its fruit good. If you can make drinking good, then why don't you get that place down in Gullisville that's so well lit and so beautiful, most prettiest thing it is in Gullisville, over on the left side of the road. Some of y'all might come by there, I don't know. And tell him, why don't you move that down in the middle of a graveyard right there below Gullisville and put your beer and whiskey and stuff for sale out there and have caskets sitting around and automobiles running and blood running everywhere. That's what it's caused, Brennan. What do we make light of it? Half the deaths on our highways are directly related to alcohol. Half of them. Oh, it's all right. It's all right. Preachers won't already preach against it. Christians put beer in their refrigerators. Brethren, somebody's going to take a stand somewhere or another. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or make the tree evil and its fruit evil. There's no ifs and ands about it. Abstain from every appearance of evil. That's what it says. And that's what it means. That's what it says, and that's what it means. And then, of course, I want to spend a little time on how in the world have we been deceived. And what little time I got left won't be enough, but I'll spend a little time on it. The Bible, New Testament says 10 times, take heed that you be not deceived. 10 times, because we're so easily deceived. It says in Luke 21, verse 8, take heed and be not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ. Well, we know that a lot of people believe things that Latter-day prophets have claimed to have, and so there many have been deceived. The Bible says in verse 2, be not deceived. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Think you're going to inherit the kingdom of God if you're anything. It names a lot of things in there. Adultery, fornication. I don't have time to go into all of it. And then this one I want to say a little bit about. 1 Corinthians 13:33. I don't like the King James on this, although it's close to the truth. Be not, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13:33, evil communication corrupt good morals. My translation of that, and I believe it's more accurate, evil companions corrupt good morals. Both of it means practically the same thing. What does that say? If you run with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. That's what my grandma always asked, well, she quoted. If you run with dogs, you're going to get up with fleas. If your best friend is a drunkard, watch out, you're going to hell. If he's a social drinker, watch out, you're going to hell. He'll either give you up or you'll give him up. Because if you don't teach him the truth, you're going to hell. And if you try to teach him the truth, he's going to run you off. We live in an age where it's accepted. Oh, you wouldn't go. Well, it's just because you're so dumb. I know I'm dumb. I don't. It's just so because you're so dumb. I think I need to drink something that makes me drive on the wrong side of the road where I drive half the time anyway, then I'd be on the wrong side of the road all the time. I think I need to drink something that makes me think that I'm the strongest person in all the world, and I'll just take on some of you fellas and whoop you just all. I always remember this when I get to this point. I was working on a road in down in Lawrenceburg, Tennessee, and Cotton Sessler, who was a big, strong fellow and runs the grader, beer joint out there on the road. So we was out there one day sitting outside, not in a shade tree, and Cotton come in there, and he said, I'm going in here and straighten this bunch out. What he said. So he went in and came back out. He said, one fella in there said, anybody in here had any courage, stand up. So I'm going back in there and stand up. He was white-headed, big fella. So he walked back in there, and he just got in the door good, and suddenly he come flying back through the glass window. And we went over and said, Cotton, what happened? He said he told me that, stand up, said he hit me and I hit the winter. And that was it. Cotton was about halfway in the wind. He could drive a track grader a whole lot better when he was about half drunk. And so he thought he could whip the world. Now, if you won't get your head knocked off, get to the place where you think you're a tough fighter and go down there and challenge some of them fellas. Did you ever wonder that they got a place in Nashville where they've had 20 killings in the last year outside that in the parking lot? It's because it's a Sunday school class. It's because they met there to pray. Brethren, you don't have to be very smart to know what's going on. Evil companions, be not deceived. Be not deceived, as you're not going to break God's law, Galatians 6:7. You can't break God's law. If you think you can break God's law, get out there and get on the roof of that building and say, God, I want you to break the law of gravity. I'm jumping off and I don't want to hit the ground. And you think where are you going to break God's law? God can't tell a lie. If he said it's night, it's night. If he said it's day, it's day. If it said there's a tree, it's a tree. It didn't matter. Someone said, well, what about creation? You know what people don't understand is when God created a tree, he created it with the appearance of age. If you walked out there and seen one of those sequoias, you looked at it, cut it open, said, that's 2,000 years old, day old. If you walked that mountain out there and God made it day before, you'd say, that's 1,000,000 years old. Yeah, it was made yesterday. God made it with appearance of age. When he looked at Adam, how old was Adam? He wasn't like the little baby we got, his first thing in all the world. I ain't going to tell you which one it is. But anyway, but he was full grown. That's the reason I've always said Adam was really the oldest man in the world. He lived 930 years, and he was older than that when he was, if you took what he really was, when he was created, he was a lot older than that, so he outlived Methuselah. You take that into account. If you want to, I can't prove it. I just think about it. And so there it was. And so when you come to it, you find that people can't break God's law. Now listen to this, young people. Be not deceived. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also receive. God said, this is the law. He that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. You ain't going to break it. You ain't going to break it. My brother-in-law, Casey Page, drunk for a good part of his life. He married my sister, and he came out of it and obeyed the gospel. I'm very glad he did. But I used to have the job of going to get Casey Page out of the beer joints in Sumner County then. And when I went, I had a hard time of it. But he always wrecked his car. When he got drunk, he thought he was the best driver in all the world. And there wasn't a tree on Happy Hollow he hadn't run into sometime during his experiences. And so he reaped that, and then he turned around and became a great Christian. He turned his life around, gave it up. And he said, drinking wasn't near as hard to quit as smoking. I ain't had either one of them problem yet. I don't know, but that's what he said. Smoking like to kill him, quitting that. But anyway, he's one of the kindest, nicest people. He always was that, except when he got too drunk. And so he turned that around. But he illustrated to me, you're going to reap what you sow. Now, who is the greatest deceiver that ever lived? Somebody said, I don't get into politics, so I almost said it wrong. Who is the greatest deceiver? The Bible tells us in Revelation 20:10 that the greatest deceiver of all is the devil. He deceiveth the whole world. Well, he's not here in person, so how does he do it? Well, you don't have to be much of a Bible scholar to be able to figure that out. You know, Paul went in Athens preaching the gospel. One withstood him, and he said, you child of the devil. That's what Paul said. Why do you always pervert the righteous ways of the Lord? He was teaching Abram. If you are teaching untruth, whether you like it or not, you are a child of the devil. Now, don't look at me that way. I can prove it to you. John 8:44, Jesus speaking. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a liar from the beginning and abode not in the truth. Now, my Lord said that. Who did he say it to? To the most religious people on earth. At that time, in name. Peter one time came up to Jesus and said to Jesus, Lord, I'm not going to let them take you. I'm going to protect you. You're not going to die. You remember how Jesus answered him? He said to Peter, and I've often wondered, I hope he never says this to me, but I'm sure he would still do it. Now he's talking to Peter. Get thee behind me, Satan. For thou savorest not the things of God, but the things of men. Now listen to this. If you're a Christian, you had to be in the devil's kingdom before you got into the Lord's kingdom. I know you're innocent when you're a child, but when you reach the age when you're accountable, you had to be. Now the Bible says plainly, God hath translated us out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And so a lot of people are deceived because they don't know that. Now, a lot of people don't recognize 2 Timothy 3:13. Evil men and seducers will become far between, few of them. You think he says that? A lot of people do. World's getting better. You know, television's good, dress is good, whiskey's good, movies is good. The home is safe. Of course, divorces outnumber marriages now in the United States. What does it say? Evil men and seducers shall be more and more. They'll grow. Evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse. I wanted to write to you. That's what the Bible says. That's what the truth is. And so that's what would. And then, of course, this thing you've got right here between your teeth is not just good at tasting food. It's good at deceiving you. I didn't say that. Jesus did. The Bible says, there be any man among you who seemeth to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. I've said this many times, women don't agree with it. I think it ought to say women first, but this didn't say it, I can't say it that way. If any woman among you seen to be religious, bride not her tongue, this man, woman's religion is vain. But what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and opposite true also. The Bible says if you don't control what you say, you're going to deceive your heart. And you're going to be lost because of it. And then, of course, James 1:22. This is what the church has become. We've become congregations of hearers. We listen. I'm not talking about everybody, but the majority. We become a group of hearers. I want to read this to you. I might take time to read from Isaiah 5, because it has such great meaning. The Bible says, woe to them that call evil good and good evil. That's Isaiah 5:20. They put darkness for light and light for darkness. They put bitterness for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine. Didn't know it said that, did you? And men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward. That means they teach their saved when they're not. And take away the righteous of the righteous from him. That means they deny the power of the gospel. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust. Because, why is that going to happen? They have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despise the word of the Holy One of Israel. If that's not as true today as anything the world can be, I don't know what is. The Bible teaches it. So James said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own self. You can listen and listen and listen, but if you don't do, we need to do. Now, I hope that you know that I preach this in all love I can muster, and that's absolute truth. And I do appreciate you listening very kindly. But I hope you understand the point of this lesson. The majority has been wrong. The majority is wrong. And because a narrow way is few, it doesn't mean that few is always right. But it does mean if you find the narrow way and the right way of God, it'll be the way of the few. You're not going to find the crowd. You're just not going to find it. If you've got the courage to say, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe He died for me. I believe He's coming back. I want to repent of all my sins. I want to confess His name so He'll confess me. I want to be baptized for remission of my sins, added to the kingdom, and with His help live a faithful life. The blood of Christ will wash you from all your sins. You can't save yourself by yourself, but you can save yourself by obeying the gospel. If you're here as a Christian, you've done that. The second law of pardon stands open. It's wonderful that it does. If we'll confess our faults, 1 John 1:6-9, as Christians, He is faithful and just to forgive us, and His blood will cleanse us from all sins. That's the second law. You can confess your sins and pray and others pray with you and repent and be saved from your sins if you're a Christian and going back into the world. It stands open today. Do you have the courage to join the few while together we stand and while we sing?